public comment. We have a 3-minute time limit on public comment. So I think we have several people this evening who would like to speak with us. The first person is Margaret O'Hara. Could you please step up? And then that would be followed by Kirby Gordon.
Go ahead. Sorry. There you are. Two-week spring break. So I'm here at the behest of the parents of the current team members who have asked me to come and speak to you because they are afraid of retaliation by their students if they come and speak to you. And they want to protest. After the summer program, three of the players transferred to Mission. Two of those were starters. Transferred to Mission. The Rowley brothers had just transferred to San Luis Obispo to play for myself and the other coach. And so when we weren't there and they hired an unqualified coach, they stayed during the summer to see how it would go. They transferred to Mission with a third player, another starter. A fourth player, Sean Mullen, was all county and all league last year. He quit the team. So you have three starters off of our team that are not here, three of which, and three players that transferred to Mission. That is unacceptable to me. I just put in not hundreds of hours, I put in thousands of hours over 4 years. I paid $10,000 of my own money to support the program. When you see somebody wearing one of these shirts, Tiger basketball shirt, I paid for 600 of these at $10 a piece.
Julie can tell you, because Julie has
the female version of this is the male one, of course. But I give them away to all the athletes at the school. Contacted, not once. Not once. I had no input in the new coach.
Hour each choir, but I know there's probably hundreds of hours in the background spent on doing this. We can't thank Colleen and Gordon more. We really appreciate it. It's a wonderful event. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bedrigian, followed. Yes, Bob.
Bob Lloyd. Bob Lloyd, AGP Video. We've had a microphone mixer malfunction. I have another one in the vehicle. I will replace it. You can continue with these wireless microphones, okay. So I just let you know that you can continue your meeting. We apologize for the interruption.
And thank you. And I just wanted to say that in 10 years of meetings, this is the first time I think we've had anything of this magnitude happen.
Well, sorry. For
so
that.
But we appreciate your. I know, and we appreciate your consistent high quality. So
thanks
so
much. If you use the wireless microphone.
So Mr. Bedrigian, followed by Mercedes Thorne.
All right. Then I will use the microphone. But is it all right if I move over here? Just so I'm not talking with my back to the audience here. So... I'm Bruce Bedrigian, president of the San Luis Coastal Teachers Association. Good evening, school board, trustees, central administrator, Dr. Prater. I was hoping that we'd get a representation from all the different levels, so let's see how well we did. So... K through adult, let's take a look at the levels. So if you teach adults in our school district, would you raise your hands, please? Thank you so much for coming. If you teach high school, would you raise your hands, please? Very good. If you teach middle school, would you raise your hands, please? Oh, those middle school teachers. And if you teach elementary school, would you raise your hands, please? Wow. Thank you all. Thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate that. As our school board has changed over the years, we are more hopeful than ever that the relationship between the board and its teachers will improve. We know that we may not always agree, but we believe that this board of trustees will listen carefully to all of its employees and be most judicious in its decisions. We are especially positive and hopeful by the board's selection of our new superintendent. Pray with your help and this newly elected board. The teachers here tonight wanted me to let you know that we are here as a show of solidarity to pledge our support to your efforts just to change the negative tone of negotiations of the past into a positive bargaining experience that is both fair and justifiable to both sides. Thank you for your willingness to listen. And at this time, I would like to go ahead and dismiss our teachers as they have final exams to grade, lesson plans to write. However, before I do, I would like to give the board and Dr. Prater just a chance to respond, if you would like. And I would like to thank all the teachers here tonight for showing and taking the time to show our central administrators and our newly elected board how much we care about the positive direction of we believe our district's going to move in now. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bedrigian. Bob, you're blowing it. You're killing me here. Thank you very much. Let's go ahead then with Miss Thorne with the no live lice.
Can I? All nits, which are eggs, left on the hair after shampooing be removed. If not, reinfestation can occur. Head lice are a year-round threat to school campuses where children socialize and crowd together. Head lice can spread as long as adult lice or eggs remain on clothing, personal items, or the infested individual. Anybody's head itching yet? The purpose of treatment is to kill all live lice and remove all nits. To prevent reinfestation, all nits must be removed. Lice-killing treatments do not kill all the nits. So if nits are not removed, those remaining on the hair after treatment can hatch in a week to 10 days, which continues the whole cycle. Female louse can lay up to 10 eggs per day. To prevent reoccurrence, reinfestation, look for and remove any nits missed following treatment. If new nits are found, live lice may be present. All of that is out of these two papers that I got after I got a phone call that my precious a no live lice policy. That's our district policy. So the fact that she had these eggs that were laid by a bug that nobody found in her hair, they were fine having her there. I had a problem with that. And all that I just read came out of these nice little papers that were handed to me by the office. So after all of the work I did in my house to my daughter, to my other daughter who had nothing, to me, we had to just make sure that the problem stopped in our house. I still was not secure sending her back to school with this policy, because there could be other kids that were fine being at school. Their parents were fine having them at school because they just had eggs. A bug was not found in their head. So I didn't feel comfortable. My daughter cried when I didn't send her to school, and I'm not lying, because she loves school. She loves every bit about it. And I kept her home because I was not comfortable with this policy. So I'm going to continue reading a little bit. Lice is a problem that requires cooperation and commitment from parents and school. I'm almost done. A no-nit policy would ensure that we are doing our part in eradicating the problem and providing an environment our students...
Seeing none, we're going to take about a 5 to 10 minute recess to allow AGP to change out the mixers. So The board will take a short recess at this time.
Nice.
Okay, back to our agenda. Our next item is, I believe, the superintendent's report. So, Dr. Prater.
Thank you very much. I've been told I cannot walk past this line, so I'll hang out over here. I want to first, if I could, acknowledge Bruce Bedrigian, and I really want to say I'm sorry all those teachers have left. Maybe you could pass on my words, but what I wanted to say was when I first became superintendent, an earnest phone call was made to me by the SLCTA president, Bruce Bedrigian, and we had a great lunch, and we spent virtually the entire lunch talking about all the great. I believe in that. So we'll do the best we can to be a good team. One of the things that we've been doing, and Bruce and I put this together just recently, is this idea of putting together a collaborative action team, referring to it as CAT. And basically what that is it's a forum where we meet once a month, Bruce, myself, Rick, sometimes Russell, and then basically Bruce would invite a variety of different employees, teachers that work in, that might have issues, that might have some confusion at the site or in the district that they would like to have resolved at a lower level. And so this is a real proactive way to build trust, to build relationships, and to try to problem solve at the closest level to that human relationship. And it's working out pretty well so far. So I just want to extend my appreciation to you, Bruce. Tonight, I just wanted to talk briefly about some of the discussions that you might have been hearing about around the Breakthrough Coach leadership model. And I don't want there to be too much confusion, but what I want you to understand is where all this sort of came from and some of the administrators in our district, and I asked them the following questions, and then they came up with these collective responses. So if you want to know how the site leadership or the collective administration of our district thinks about our organization's purpose, this is what they had to say. That our organization's purpose is to prepare every child academically, socially, physically, and emotionally to be contributing citizens in a global society. So pretty nice statement and a well-thought-out purpose. Then I asked, okay, so what's your role in the organization? So what's our collective purpose as administrators? Well, there's a lot to combine here, but our collective purpose is to build a collaborative organization that A, takes responsibility for student achievement, B, provides a clean, safe environment, C, researches and implements best practices, D, evaluates program effectiveness and designs appropriate interventions to ensure that all students demonstrate content mastery, E, uses its time and resources effectively and efficiently, and F, support developed through professional learning communities, or PLCs, the capacity to use data to drive learning through high-quality instruction, for example, comprehensive literacy, best practices, and targeted interventions that meet the needs of all students. Okay? Then I asked, what do you see as critical central office support features? And this is what they had to say. It includes trusted site decision-making, open, focused, and timely communication, targeted professional development, and clear district priorities focused on student achievement that include adequate funding. So you could see how they're thinking. So there's the critical central office features. Well, what are your barriers, I asked. And they said, they include a lack of time connected to micromanaging from the district office. Can you believe that? And insufficient, inconsistent funding. That's always frustrating. Lack of focus on student achievement and too much bureaucracy. So that's what I got from our site leaders and district leaders. That's what I got. Okay? And then I'm curious, okay, well, how do you spend a typical week? They said, supervision and managing stress. Sounds like a fun job. So basically, this is what I gathered from our administrators in the district by, I believe, September or so. Is that about right, Rick? So I didn't know quite what to do with this. But I, like I do, I sit on things and I think about how to best resolve what I see as the barriers, what I see as the critical central office feature support features, and how do I get what I see as critical players in the game of student achievement, the principals, working at their highest capacity and working for the betterment of the learning environment. So this is where I stumbled on, and actually I've been, quite honestly, I've been avoiding this for a lot of years because people that have been through the Breakthrough Coach training have always said to me, Eric, you really, really need to look at this. Well, our own Amelia Samoz, Director of Technology, oh, hi, Amelia, kept emailing me and saying, Eric, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to look at this in our district because of those things that are embedded in that right there, the barriers. People really speak volumes about how they spend their time and despite what they say. Like, I value kids, but I'm never around them is a problem, okay? And so you can imagine the risk here. So I ran into our county superintendent, Dr. Julian Crocker, asked him about the Breakthrough Coach, which he's a part of, said it's amazing. Then I ran into Jim Hogaboom, Superintendent Lucia Marr, and they're doing it in their district. He said it's amazing. Then I ran into Chris Adams at Coast, said it's amazing. And I have a friend back in the Bay Area who's done it. Their entire district has done it. And again, pretty amazing. So out they come in December, and this is what we learned. Why the Breakthrough Coach? The Breakthrough Coach shifts the focus for our administrators onto the classroom environment where our teachers teach and our students learn each day. The second part is administrators will be expected to become experts at understanding and supporting the learning environment for all of our students. The mutual benefit of that second bullet, of course, is that when teachers see the principals or central office people walking through the hallways and into their rooms, teachers and paraeducators go through, and also you're sending a message to students that you care about what's going on. This is an important piece to this. And that's the last bullet. As administrators will empower the school staff to become the very best that they can be. This is one of those things that's critical. The principals asked or stated, or the administrators in our district stated that they want site autonomy for leadership. Well, I believe powerful site principals need to give teachers the same courtesy, to allow them to do the work they do and empower them to be the best at what they do by supporting them. I believe in that, and that's really what this is about, to become well-informed leaders of our district, to be a part of the conversation in a credible way around student achievement. It won't take long for people to figure out that if I'm in a classroom and I'm observing what's going on, it won't take long for the teacher and myself to begin the conversation about what is it that you need. How can I help you? Because it'll be obvious. It'll be obvious. But the problem is, if our principals are in the office, this came from our principals today, from our principal council meeting. Rick asked the principals, and this isn't everything, it's just some. You know, what are your thoughts on this? Well, first of all, let me say, all district administrators have cleaned their offices. With the goal of those offices being impeccable, and you might say, Well, what's important about that, and how's that tied to student achievement? The symbol behind it is I'm removing the clutter so I can see and think, so I can better understand what you're going through. Because in that clutter is avoidance. Terry L. Franks, principal at Los Osos Middle School, responded that he has reached 60% on the impeccability scale. Thought you'd like that. All but three administrators currently meet with their secretaries each day. We just had the training in December. Virtually all of our administrators are meeting every day with our secretaries, and let me tell you, that is such a respectful thing to do. And I really feel it's a powerful movement. And of those three that haven't quite done it yet, they're on their way. All administrators have a plan to spend at least two full days in trust. And if I'm a principal who has not been in the classrooms, and now I'm in there two full days, that's a pretty frightening prospect. Like, what are you doing in here? Get out of here. We have to rebuild trust. We have to reestablish these relationships with our faculty members so they understand we're there as a support feature for kids and for them. What I call the learning environment. All district level administrators have plans to be in the field at least once each week. I said the field because we have some administrators that may go to the court. Thank you. Yes. And we have some administrators. Chris Dowler today was talking about how he surprised the ROP teachers. And they were welcoming of him. Because no one's ever done that before. There are a lot of invisible employees in this district that need to feel respected and honored. And you do that by showing them your time and developing a relationship with them. And that's what this is about. And we talked about that today with our principals. So we're all going to be out there. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Rick and Russell, we're all not including his co-administrators who did the same. So you can imagine. And now he also shared with me some of the comments that his staff, his teachers were sharing with him. But I chose not to put it in. But they were just very funny. Very funny. Amy Shields has seen her discipline referrals drop considerably and was amazed at how many interruptions her secretary has to manage throughout the day. Sometimes what we're learning is that we don't have the slightest clue what our secretaries are going through. And we just go, oh, by the way, Kim, can you do this for me and do this for me and do this for me? And then I leave. And in the meantime, she's answering phones and managing things. And I tell you, our secretaries are heroes to me. And this is an honorable thing once we find the best way to support them. And it respects their skills as well. Dan Block, principal at Bishop Speak Teach, can see how this simple measure can have a positive impact on achievement. Chris Dowler commented, I just mentioned, on how surprised the ROP teachers were to see him, and it was good to see the great work that they are doing. Finally, district level administrators are refocusing their efforts to make sure that we are working to support student success across the district. And I think, so we're going to try to support and understand what's going on so that we can be credible in what we have to say. And that's, at the end of the day, what Breakthrough Coach is to me and to our team at this point. Are there any questions?
Wow. Well, you sold me. Thank you very much, Dr. Prater. And I think some of the things that we'll be talking about in the future, this completely dovetails with those things, and I look forward to seeing how this fits in with the rest of the planning process that we'll be hopefully undergoing shortly.
Okay, great.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Sheffer and then Mr. Quisenberry.
Being the data guy you are, Dr. Prater,
yes.
Will you be checking in to see if you can further, since this is so new and early, kind of continue to monitor and measure your results and let us know, you know, get additional feedback? I think that what you did in the fall in terms of gathering information from employees was really valuable. And just to...
So we realize that this has to be an ongoing conversation because it's dynamic. And if it goes to the left or goes to the right and needs to be adjusted, we'll need to do that. But the central players in this really truly are going to be the administrators in developing relationships and trust with their staff. Because that's what this hopefully will do. This should, given what I've learned about our principals, this should strengthen relationships with staff, because the staff will begin to discuss the things they like what's going on, the things they don't like what's going on. They'll begin that conversation in real time. And it's a two-way street, but it's built on mutual respect, because I'm out there, I'm spending my time, I value what I see, I value you. And so I'll be gauging that input as well. So we're going to come up with some data assessment models through probably SurveyMonkey with staff as well. Tell me what you think. Is this good or not good? More of this, less of that. So yeah, you'll see more of that coming. Okay?
Mine's just a comment. I was over at Morabe High, and I have to. I went to Dan Andrus's office and Kathy Bueller's, and they're about 90% in the classroom and supporting that. I think that's really, really valuable.
Thank you.
Other comments from board members? Anybody in the public? Yeah, and this just, again, to wrap up for me, I think what this reminds me of is that we're each here to serve. And I think that this is going to help our service toward others, the administrator's service toward the teacher's service toward the students, our service to our community. And so thank you. Moving on, Mr. Miller, do you have a state budget report for us?
Thank you. And just a brief overview of things that we know and then speculation about things we don't know. But currently the governor has released his proposal for a budget for the 2011-2012 fiscal year of the state. And what he's trying to address in his budget model is a $25-plus billion deficit. And his proposal is to have an essentially equal percentage increase in, well, let me go back. It's not really an increase, but a continuation of our current tax structure so that we can count on a continuing about $8 billion revenue stream for the state from sales tax, income taxes, and vehicle license fees. And he's also proposed about a $12 billion, which basically is about a 1.6% cut, because we won't be getting our COLA that is called out for in the Prop 98 funding model as education in general. So interesting statistic was that the education community has taken a 14-plus percentage cut in the last 4 years of allocations from the state. The corrections department has taken a 9 percentage point cut. CSU and UC system has taken a 1.4% cut. Overall, education has taken a much more substantial cut in trying to assist the state in balancing its budget during this crisis. What the linchpin of his plan is, though, is that he will call for a special election. If the legislature passes a two-thirds approval of that special election, they have to approve of the special election in June, and in order to do that, two-thirds of them have to agree, which requires two Republicans from each House to cross party lines and vote in favor of the governor's proposal. And the governor is, as we know, a Democrat. So then the outcome is going to be a much, much different scenario. The amount of cuts to education at that point will probably be about 25%. The speculation is about $350 per student. Put that in perspective for San Luis Coastal, if we were revenue limit, that'd be close to $2.5 million. We would be looking at, as a basic aid district, a fair share of paying of about that much anyway. For other districts, depending on their size, the cut is substantial. The other piece of the process in case it doesn't pass is a continued increasing deferral of allocations that the state owes to education. Right now, a huge deferral of money owed to districts is going to occur in May and June, and it will be deferred until August and September of the following year. What that does is takes already budget crisis districts, which is different than cash crisis, and turns them into very, very needy organizations in the sense that they're going to need to figure out how to cover their payroll now. So in order to weather the approaching deferrals, which come before the vote, then districts are going to be required to borrow some money in order to meet the payroll. There are different places they can borrow from. County Treasury is one. Tax anticipation revenue notes are another. So there are alternatives to that, but it's not a pretty sight. The total deferrals, if the budget proposal doesn't pass the voters, will amount to 45% of a district's cash is the estimate. It's above and beyond the ability of a state-supported institution to react to that kind of a number. That's going to be an extremely difficult thing for a lot of districts to overcome. But the key is what happens in the legislature in the next 3 months, and they need to make a decision mid-March for a number of reasons. Layoff notices by March 15th is huge, but more than that, prepping out and getting advanced time before the election in June. As we all know, if you have a parcel tax or any kind of an election, you have to back up from the date that you want to achieve your goal to the point March 15th, and we have an election in June, then obviously we've got a huge task in front of us in order to make the electorate aware of the outcome of the consequences of their votes. So we'll be watching this really carefully.
In the discussion, in the reading that you're doing, I'm still confused of how this is going to play out. There were two propositions that we approved as Californians. One was in the House and the Senate, in the Assembly and the Senate, now takes a two-thirds majority to increase taxes or fees.
Fees, yes.
Fees. But we eliminated the two-thirds majority at the budget.
For a budget.
So which one?
what it is, we didn't do anything in those propositions to affect the outcome of a special election. So constitutionally, the special election is simply an act, okay? So we approve, you can go to the voters, and that has always been a two-thirds vote, still remains a two-thirds vote to get that out.
Out of the legislature?
Out of the legislature.
Okay, thank you.
The actual vote to approve an election has no bearing on the outcome of that election, just the mere fact of holding it. That's what we're voting on.
Two. Mrs. Delkiskamp.
Thank you. As a requirement of our district's acceptance of federal and state categorical funds, we annually submit to the state parts one and two of the consolidated application. With your approval, we submitted part one in June of 2010, and with this item, we are requesting your approval of part two. In addition to the information that staff has provided in this item, I wanted to note the following. Our Title I and three entitlements collectively have increased this year by about $48,000. And I believe this is at least in part due to our growing English learner population. Title 2D, which is a technology formula grant, decreased by more than 50%, and Title 4 was completely eliminated. Title 2A, which has to do with professional development for teachers and administrators and recruitment, and that we also use for class size reduction, remains similar to last year's entitlement. So taken as a whole, our district's federal categorical funding increased by about 23,800 programs that we are maintaining in our district. At the elementary level, we have Steps to Respect. At middle school, we have Second Steps, And in middle school and high school, we're maintaining our drug and alcohol contracts with the county. Also noteworthy in regards to our state categorical funds is that you probably noticed that our EIA funding decreased, and that was in relation to our school district's share of pain that Russell has spoken to you about before. We've responded as a district to those cuts by the state before, but this is the first time it actually shows up on our consolidated application. So I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have regarding our application before you take any action on this item.
Great. I'm going to go to the public first and see if there's anyone from the public that would like to add input or make comments on this. And seeing no one, I'll go back to the board. Mr. Buckman.
I don't have any comments because Rita and I spent the weekend emailing each other, and I apologize for that.
No worries.
And I just want to thank
you. We can take this forward for a vote. I would entertain a motion. Motion by Mr. Buckman. Okay, I'll take the second by Mr. Quisenberry. Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Carries 5-0. Thank you, Rita. Let's move on to item number 2, approval to schedule a board study session in lieu of a regular meeting. Dr. Prater.
Yes, I just want to frame this really quickly. We have 2 scheduled meetings in February. And what we've been trying to do, and we're struggling to do, is get everybody together for a board study session. And so one of the proposals that I would suggest, even though it's written here as in lieu of the regular February 1st meeting, holding the board study session to review board goals and direction of the district, I would submit that if it's okay with the board that we flip-flop and have February 15th as the board study session and February 1st as a normal board meeting as scheduled. Well, and that's what I'm looking for.
Okay, seeing none. I don't think we need to take a vote on this. I think we can just
state it as
just
such.
Agree that this is okay. Something that the board has consensus on. Mr. Quisenberry.
And that's to begin at 5 o'clock on the 15th?
Yeah, I was thinking 5 to 9 or so.
How about 3 to 7?
As always, Mr. Miller. okay, let's move on then to the action consent agenda. If you'd like an item removed, please let me know. Item number 3, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. Item number 4, acceptance of donations, and I'm going to ask that one be pulled. Thank you, Mrs. Sheffer. Mrs. Sheffer and I. Number 5, disposition of surplus property. Number 6, approval of furniture and equipment requests. 7, approval of purchase orders. 8, approval of warrants and payroll. 9, approval of California High School exit exam waivers for students with disabilities. Item number 10, approval of out-of-state field study trip, Morro Bay High School Dance Fusion Club to Chicago. And item number 11, approval to teach a class outside. 11. Okay, we have a motion. I'm looking for a second. Seconded by Mrs. Sheffer. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Carries 5-0. Mrs. Sheffer, would you like to go for item number 4?
I just wanted to comment on the... two items here, the Los Ranchos Elementary School matching grant program. It's a great idea. I'm happy to see it. I think that these kind of creative methods to increase donations and that go directly to the school are really wonderful. I see names here that I recognize and names I don't, but I would just like to say that the grandparent B.K. Simon, who donated $5,000 to establish this matching grant program, I think it's a great idea, and I'm happy to see it. And the only other thing I would point out is that C.L. Smith Elementary School, the parents who have paid extra for the sixth grade field trip, their donations go towards enabling other students to be able to go on that field trip as well, and it's a generous gesture. And I accept item four.
Is there somebody who'd like to second that? Seconded by Mr. Quisenberry. All in favor? Aye. Carries 5-0. We'll move on to advanced agenda. Is there anybody who would like to discuss advanced agenda items? Mr. Buckman?
Yeah. Let me just get to the right place. It's right after 12. If my other board members will indulge me, if we look at some of the items that we've been carrying for quite a while, it looks like we're going to be addressing those in the near future, and I'm wondering if we would like to be able to if you would join me in removing some of these. Mr. Miller, it's my understanding that the MOU for the swimming pool is kind of under discussion or gone.
The MOU that was initially established with the group from Morro Bay, mm-hmm. Has been shifted to another group, and okay. So it looks like we're heading in it.
I suggest that we remove that from the future agenda items.
Okay.
And you want to do them one at a time, Chris?
Yeah, go ahead. When you're saying removing, what I'm seeing is the. Are you looking at the strategic planning overview items not yet to be scheduled?
Right.
Okay, Mrs. Holmes, how do you want to do that? Because I know this is going to be, I think as Mr. Buckman points out, most of these will be items that we'll be discussing shortly. So do we move that from
right. item? If we have a specific date, then we would move that from that not scheduled category into the left-hand column, knowing that it's coming here in the foreseeable future. And then when it happens, it'll disappear from the list altogether.
Okay. And then, if again, indulge me, there are two, one that's been sitting here for a while, which is the gang task force presentation, and I'm wondering if we could get that on and maybe get it on prior to the budget, as we start looking at the budget, and as we start looking at the strategic plan or whatever we're going to be working on. Because it may have an influence on our decisions.
Can you hold on just a second, Mark?
Yes, please.
Dr. Prater, so is that something that we can bring up at a clerk superintendent meeting?
That's perfect.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
I appreciate that. I'm also, when I was looking at the CON app, and as we were going through it on page 1.3, and the three programs that we've chosen to work with, I have some questions about the length of time that we've been involved with those, whether they're still scientifically based research qualified, whether they still are the hottest things going.
Where's that?
It's in the CON app on 1.3. It was the three, there's a K6 and Trust for Success and I'm Too Cool for Drugs. And
so you're talking about the Title IV Part A Safe and Drug-Free Schools and Communities program?
Yeah. There's three programs. We have one at K-6 and one in middle school and one in high school. And I'm just wondering whether there's any way that we have to evaluate or reevaluate those programs. And I'm not sure whether that – well, yeah, I think that might be a future agenda item, but it would be up to the board to give me support on that.
Is that something that we could have a report on a Friday packet perhaps? Would that be acceptable, Mr. Miller?
Yes.
Okay.
And it may even...
Would like to talk about advanced agenda items. Okay, seeing none. Let's move on then to item 14, reports by board members. Who'd like to begin? Mr. Angel.
I just wanted to say I got a chance to attend the career day at San Luis High School and also spent a day with Dr. Pruitt just showing me around the high school. wonderful programs, but I really like the effort that Colleen Martin put in and the counselors overall at San Luis High on the career day. Just a fantastic speaker, Michael Boyer, who runs a software development company here in Pismo Beach, and San Luis Obispo, Pismo Beach in the county. Anyway, thank you.
Okay. And
well, I mean, the best presenter there was spend all day with Phil, and that would be me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to follow Amanda's practice from the earlier. It was a great event. The students seemed very interested in the careers and interested in their own futures. I want to go all the way back to early December. I was able to attend a workshop, and it was on Facebook. And I'm trying to communicate with students at where they're at, as opposed to textbooks and paper, and working and helping them on homework assignments with Facebook, and some of the lawsuits that have arose from that kind of interaction. And I don't know where this goes, but it was a very very important for me to understand that our teachers are of an age, or many of our teachers are of an age, that they're very, very willing to use the internet and Facebook and social networking to work with the students, and I'm not. And I think that's great, but I think we need to at some point look into how it's happening and what possible liabilities we have as a district when we have teachers using their personal Facebook pages as opposed to something that the district has. So great, it was a great workshop.
Mr. Quisenberry.
Well, I just want to comment on places I've been and performance I've seen. Over the holiday, I had a chance to see the Morro Bay Concert Choir, all their choirs, and also the band Bishop's Peak for the presentation of their contribution for the service dog for the young man who has allergies. And I don't think the paper quite caught the tenor of the moment, I think. I think the dog and the very cute dog and the very cute young man kind of stole the show. But it was a sixth grade project, and they raise money by recycling and teaching the lower grades how to recycle, and did a wonderful presentation on how that all went about. So I wanted to thank Dan Block and recognize the sixth grade class at Bishop's Peak for their hard work and generosity.
And I was able to go to have lunch at Monarch Grove, pardon me, last week. And again, I want to, as always, thank the staff who spent time talking to me at lunch. I know that, you know, lunchtime a lot of times is time when you can get together with your colleagues, and I just really do appreciate the input people gave me. There were questions about the breakthrough coaching, and I'm glad that I had a chance to talk to Dr. Prater about those, and I'm glad that he was able to explain that tonight.
That's all right. I just wanted to say that before the holidays, I attended the choir performance at the PAC with the San Luis High School, Middle School, and Elementary Schools. And it was very interesting because it was such a wonderful opportunity to hear music from all over the world. I think maybe we heard one or two familiar songs, and everything else was from different cultures, different parts of the world. So it was entertaining, educational, and different, which was wonderful. I also attended. I'm on the first meeting of the Central California Schools Financing Authority, and we had our meeting on January 5th, our brief meeting with Lucia Mar Unified School District. Just thought I should report that meeting occurred. So that's it. Thank you.
And I failed to mention at the choir concert the middle school choir and the work by Elaine Yeo with her students too. So I'd be remiss if I didn't mention them. They did a fantastic job.